The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Hi there. Welcome to this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. I'm riding solo this week. Mr. Dan Dubose is taking the weekend off, so good for him. I want to elaborate on the disclaimer once again that you heard from the folks here at the station. My opinions are not theirs, and vice versa, I might add. And then, of course, anything you hear on today's show, whether it's a tax strategy, real estate strategy, which you'll probably hear both, please do not run out and try those until you've consulted with someone that's familiar with your facts and circumstances to make sure that those strategies, one, are correctly disseminated, and two, that they would provide a benefit to you with your specific facts and circumstances, be they legal, tax, real estate, investment, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to talk. I've got several things queued up for today's show, some really appropriate articles from within the last week with all that's going on in the real estate space or the business world in general or our political situation. It seems like there's a lot of moving targets as we speak, and they appear to affect all things real estate, at least based on what's going on in the market. But and then we'll talk a little bit about one of our favorite strategies again, the 401 trust paired up with some Roth conversions. It's becoming all the more apparent that getting your money from pre-tax over to Roth is going to be your best shot at keeping your tax rates down as we move forward. And you may not, depending on how you earn your money, you may not have a whole lot of help doing that necessarily from real estate. It may be your job, your W-2, how you make your day money is going to be affected so hugely that your real estate benefits may or may not offset that. It depends on how you've got them structured, and we would suggest now is a great time for you to start looking at that. If you want our help with that, please go to our website at beaplanner.com. That's beaplanner.com, and you'll see on the top right some forms or a link to some forms. And right next to it is a link to schedule a call once you've submitted the forms. And Dan and I look at a lot of these forms that come in. We're pretty quick at assessing whether we can sync up with what your goals and objectives are. And we can tell you what the potential impact of investing in real estate investments. As a tax CPA, we can tell you that. We are not magicians or fortune tellers. We're accountants. And to the extent we can analyze the math, which is what we do, we don't direct your investments. We provide you with the math on assorted opportunities that you may be considering to help you understand what you're signing up for. And most of our clients, they may not be mathematicians, nor are we, by the way, but we understand the math of real estate, specifically the real estate syndication arena, where we can tell you Hey, here's the math on what the pro forma outcomes would suggest. Here's where it might be wrong. Here's where it is wrong. The assumptions are bad or irrelevant given today's economic outlook. And we can also tell you how your tax reporting should occur so that you can understand how it will or will not impact your immediate taxation, but perhaps it'll position you for the future. And I think a lot of people are misguided on that front. I know that there's, you know, every weekend, there's one weekend out of the month that the assorted old school travel agent, I call them, real estate mentor groups have their monthly workshop that's mandatory for all their members. And, you know, we can always tell when that happened because we get phone calls the following week from people that are wanting a CPA on their team. And, you know, they're all jazzed up about how they're going to write those losses off on those big multifamily partnerships. You know, they think they'll put $100,000 in, and first year they're going to get a $80,000-plus loss reported to them, which they will. But the question is, can they use it? And there's several different hurdles that are placed in front of you as a taxpayer that may or may not. And if you're new to real estate investing, it's not. That they will not allow you to write those off just yet. We'll carry them forward. When you liquidate some of those partnerships or otherwise generate passive real estate income or passive income, then we'll be able, perhaps, to write those losses off. So it's not that you lose them, it's timing. And it's definitely something you need to consider when I mention this next point to you, which is most of these real estate gurus are amateur tax advisors. And as Red Adair was fond of saying, the legendary Houston oil well firefighter used to say, you know, if you think professionals are expensive, just try the amateurs. And when you listen to some of the amateurs in the real estate, and again, it's the old school travel agent type platforms where you pay a membership fee because they convince you that they know best or that they have the best transactions, which is typically false, as you might, you probably understand that just listening, the way that they make it sound, it definitely falls into the too good to be true camp. And some measure, I'm not suggesting that all transactions don't hit the mark, but enough of them don't hit the mark where you need to understand, you need to look pretty closely at the metrics and the pro formas and understand that, you know, there's a lot of transactions that will be available to you on these platforms that you won't hear those lead partners interviewed on the air, or you won't see them on case study night. Why? Because the projects don't, you know, get to the finish line in quite the fashion that they projected on the front end. And so, you know, understanding what some rational projections are is critical if you want to avoid being disappointed just because you didn't understand that, you know, that 2.8 equity multiple they projected was over 8 years. Well, you know, that sounds impressive, 2.8, until you realize, well, if you're going to hold a property that long, you need a higher equity multiple than 2.8, and we'll show you how to assess that. You know, 2.8 would be okay if you were going to hold it 4 years, but not, you know, 8 years. So in any event, you know, we will help you understand, again, the math, including the tax math, so that when someone tells you you should liquidate your 401k because that's the best way to show the man, show the government how much is theirs, and then you invest that money, what little of it is left, which, you know, you're going to give away 25 to 35, maybe higher, depending on where you live. If you live in, say, California or New York or even states like Arizona, you know, states where you have state income tax, you're talking about giving up a healthy chunk of your family's net worth, and you don't need to. I guess that would be the biggest takeaway, is if someone's telling you to do that, you might not need to. And again, in Texas, we've got some special rules that allow couples, if you're married, filing joint. It doesn't matter how old you are. You don't have to be 59 and a half, which you've probably been told by your HR department, or some of the old school platforms will tell you that that's the rule. Or you have to quit your job, which some of you may not be in a position to do. Most of you probably aren't, in fact. You probably still need that stream of income for at least another few years. And at least in Texas, married filing joint, you do not have to quit your job, and you do not have to be over 59 and a half to access your family's retirement wealth if it's sitting in a 401k with your employer. And we have helped many people deploy that strategy. And, you know, it allows you to accomplish all the things that the gurus talk about. Control your money, invest it in real estate, and then do whatever makes you happy, whether that's continuing to work, whether that's working with a charity, or whether it's maybe you learning how to become a lead partner, and then you doing, after you've participated in a couple or several transactions involving real estate private partnerships as a passive investor, and then you undertake the role of the lead partner or sponsor, syndicator, whatever word you want to use. But we'll show you how to do that with an extra 30 to 35% of your net worth, which is pretty critical when you look at the amount of wealth you can amass over the next 30 years or the rest of your life, depending on your age and life expectancy. But it is a material factor. And if you want to see just how material, you can go to the website, again, beaplanner.com, BEAPLANNER.com, and scroll to the bottom of the homepage, and you'll see an example that I prepared, $350,000 401k account that shows you the four ways you can take control of your money. And a couple of them involve not exposing your IRA to tax or your 401 to tax, unless it's a Roth conversion tax, which we'll talk about here momentarily. And there's also the rip the Band-Aid off approach, as one of the local platforms calls it. I would call it cutting your right leg off would be more akin to what you're doing. And they know that. They understand the eight ball that it's going to put you behind. But at some level, they're more worried about their net worth than they are yours. And if you don't understand that, you will come to learn that after you spent the 20 grand to join those platforms. I would argue that in today's direct investment arena, you no longer, just like you no longer purchase your tickets through a travel agent, you don't need to join a platform to invest in these real estate private partnerships. We'll show you how to do it. And in fact, if you're accredited, we'll show you where you can go to invest with a gentleman that's the number one most prolific investor in the history of Self-Made Millionaires platform right here in Houston, Texas. And we'll show you where he's producing transaction outside the very platform that he's telling you, and that the powers that be with that organization are telling you should join and pay the 20 grand to be able to invest in quality transactions. And yet that's not what he's doing with transactions he's leading. He's doing it out on a publicly available website. If you're an accredited investor, meaning you have more than $1 million net worth, you too can invest directly with the most prolific investor within the Self-Made Millionaire platform. And for those of you that don't know who I'm referring to, you can shoot me an email or text message, and I'll be happy to explain how to get that information. It's public. It's easily available. You just need to qualify as an accredited investor. And do I say all that to tell you don't join that or other platforms? No, I don't. I'm just telling you it's a little different take than what you're going to get when you go to the first meetings you attend and you're sold, quote unquote, on those platforms. They make it sound like you've got no choice. Paying a membership fee is the only way you can get there, and they'll make you feel stupid if you think you can do it on your own, and you probably won't do it on your own unless you're working with someone like us. And one other thing I would mention is that one of the benefits of joining those platforms is to get you what we refer to as sophisticated status. It's an SEC term for those that are non-accredited, meaning your net worth is less than the $1 million threshold, or you make less than $200,000 to $300,000 a year in income. That's the other way to qualify. But if you're working with a CPA that understands these real estate private partnerships, that qualifies you as sophisticated whether you've done anything else. And so you do have options, and that's the reason we talk about it. And we think that the option we'll provide you will, you know, drill right down to the essence of investing in these partnerships without all the sales huff, without all the stories that probably could not happen any longer because rules change, the laws change. And when you go to the workshops that these folks mandate before you get into the good stuff, the private partnerships, you're going to hear all these stories. And all I can tell you is they're great stories. It's worth the price of admission to sit through that 2 days. I know that sounds bizarre, maybe, that you would not be tired at all going from 8 a.m. to 5 or 6 o'clock at night. They're very entertaining. It's just a lot of the stories aren't true, and you wouldn't know that unless you'd been around those programs like I have for many, many years. Used to be a member of a couple of them, and I can tell you there's some thick air hiding some of the truth in those stories. But in any event, let's pivot and pick up with a couple of these articles that I find not necessarily intriguing, but certainly currently newsworthy. One of the first things I want to talk about is the contribution limits that the IRS announced this past week that are mainly due to the cost of living adjustments that they make periodically. And this is an incredible opportunity. For those of you that are behind on generating retirement wealth, we got some great news here. And for those that have 401s or have access to 401s, and I'm going to tell you the general rule, you may not, depends on your company, the options they offer, depends on how much, what the contribution amounts are that other participants are doing. But the total contribution limit is now $61,000. Well, for 2022, we're at 61, just so you can understand a baseline here. And for 2023, that's going up to $66,000, $5,000 higher. For us old guys and gals, that is, we're over age 50, it goes up to $73,500. $73,500 will be the new max that we can put in to a 401, whether we do it pre-tax or we do it vis-a-vis the Roth or the mega backdoor Roth. $73,500 is the total if you're 50 years or older and doing the catch-up. And, you know, the amount that you can do at your employer, again, may be limited. If you're utilizing the self-directed 401 model, in other words, you qualify because you've got some sort of business or self-employment income, as a side gig, let's say, then you can do more than just take control of your money by doing a rollover. you can actually contribute a percentage of that net income, and you may be able to get up as high as these limits that I'm suggesting. You've got to have the income to get there. So anybody that has a side gig, or let's say their main business is, you know, an attorney, consultant, real estate agent or broker, you know, there's a number of side gigs that I work, you know, I have clients that I work with undertake, and the mega backdoor Roth strategy is still with us for the moment. The Democrats have tried to kill that strategy. They have not yet been successful. We're hoping we have good news here in a few days, and that the part of the good news, if the elections go the way they're leaning, it would appear the mega backdoor Roth is going to be protected for quite some time. But in any event, higher limits, all due, well, not all due to inflation, but in large measure, and those are welcomed. Tell you what, let's take a break. Before we get into the next article, let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back here in a few minutes with more of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Eyes on a win, no matter how much I lost. Grindstones and rhinestones are made of my life, but I shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I ain't gonna be rich, no matter how much it cost. Eyes gonna win, no matter how much I lost. But I hope life will tell me, well done, my child. You've won your reward through your sacrifice. Your sacrifice.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Okay, welcome back to more of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we were just talking before the break about the higher limits for 2023 on the 401 front, which includes the big company plans. If you can get an average employee contribution high enough, which you probably won't in most big companies, but hey, these same rules apply to the self-directed 401 trust that we like to use. And boy, do we welcome, for those of us that have the self-employment income, we sure welcome those increases. Pivoting now a moment, I saw an article, and this, again, I believe was about a week ago, and it just goes to show it is hard to believe how fast the math has changed when it comes to single-family properties. And I'm assuming this is a mix. This article, let's see, where did this thing show up? CNBC, which I think we can trust these economic numbers. Maybe not. They're suspect at times. But in any event, pending home sales, a measure of signed contracts on existing homes, dropped a much worse than expected 10.2% in September from August. That's 1 month, folks. 1 month. The number of signed contracts on homes dropped much worse than expected, 10.2%. Economists had predicted a 4% drop. Sales were down, get this, 31% year over year. That hurts. If you're the folks that bought a year ago, if the sales have dropped that much, I can pretty much promise you, you're probably at or near underwater in terms of the value that you're property is now worth. Realtors point squarely, although it actually works two ways. You may not want to get out of the house you're in for quite some time because that mortgage is saving, I mean, assuming you were going to buy a home at that level, it's saving you some money. Realtors point squarely to sharply higher mortgage rates, which set at record lows for the first 2 years of the pandemic. The average rate on the popular 30-year fixed mortgage was right around 3%. Boy, you'll be dreaming. It'll only be in your dreams that you're going to see 3% anytime in the next couple years. They were around 3% at the start of this year, but then rose swiftly, crossing 6%, double, in June, according to Mortgage News Daily. Pulled back a bit in July and August, but then began rising again, crossing 7% in September when these contracts were signed. And it all obviously pertains to how fast the Fed Reserve is drastically raising interest rates to quell inflation, which what they're doing so far isn't working, so you can count on more of it, maybe even sooner than projected. But the bottom line on these mortgage interest rates is for potential buyers, the increase in rates means the monthly payment on a median priced home with a 20% down payment is now close to $1,000 higher than it was in January of this year. That's crazy. And since wages are falling behind on account of inflation and rates are rising, buyers' purchasing power has been reduced by over $100,000. I've seen numbers that would put it at over $200,000. I guess it depends on the top line on the purchase price. And again, the point's made here that the Federal Reserve's monetary tightening has not yet made a dent in inflation, which means that the bank is expected to hike its policy rate further, which, as we know, that's exactly what's happening. Let's see, let me just pick a couple sentences, I guess, out of context here, but they're all in the context of being worse off. Home prices are up more than 40% still since the start of the pandemic, fueled largely by the rock-bottom interest rates early on. Regionally, pending home sales dropped 16.2% month-to-month in the Northeast and were down 30.1% year over year. In the Midwest, sales were down 8.8% for the month and 26% from 1 year ago. Those are pretty big, those are drastic changes. In the South, sales retreated 8.1% for the month and were down 30% year over year. It's just amazing. And the West, which is the most expensive region in the nation, sales fell 11.7% for the month of September and were down 38.7% from the year before. Those are some huge numbers and not good. unless I guess you're a buyer, although if you need to be paying cash, as it were, or you get walloped on the interest rate. Let's see, moving to the next article. You know, this hadn't gotten a lot of press, and it probably is wishful thinking, but there was an article on GlobeStreet.com this past week that says that there's a chance that Congress could address commercial real estate tax issues at the last minute. There's about to be a lame duck session of Congress. No one knows who'll be in charge next, although we have a pretty good feel for it. But that means some officials might try to push through some important measures. And, you know, again, I think this is highly unlikely, but I could be wrong, have been many times before. But Republicans want to revive a tax benefit for businesses that allowed them to immediately write off their research expenses. And then those are just a couple of the items. The child tax credit was the second one there. I kind of skipped over it. So Democrats want to revive the child tax credit enhancement. Republicans want to revive the R&D credit. I guess potentially if they sync up on enough of their wants and wishes, maybe they could get something passed. But in any event, there are a number of things still from the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. It's kind of hard to believe it, but we're coming up on the first year of some of the phase-outs, like the QBI, the Qualified Business Income, the pass-through deduction, I believe, starts the phase-out in 2023. I think it's 20%, if I recall. And then the bonus depreciation, which that's a big one. That's allowed us to write off significant improvements over the, you know, on the first day, literally, that you place them in service. That's starting to phase out, I believe, also in 2023. So in any event, these are all big ticket items. You know, the congressional scorekeepers, I assume that's CBO, Congressional Budget Office, estimate that the 2021 version of the child tax credit would cost another $1.6 trillion over a decade. So these are big dollar plans or spending. While the business investment tax breaks would reduce federal revenues by $400 billion. And there isn't currently a good estimate on pieces of those business tax breaks. Well, you know, I guess we should all ask, where does the money come from? It's like Ron Paul back in the day. Who's going to pay for it? How do we pay for it? It's great ideas. How do we pay for it? And I think we all know at the end of the day who's going to pay for it. And when you look at the fact that each taxpayer right now has the piece of the acknowledged federal deficit, $31 to $32 trillion, whatever it is, that's $250,000 for each taxpayer, theoretically, that, you know, would be the burden. And, you know, you talk about the baby boomers getting theirs. I think that's in reality exactly what happened. All the spending that's happened over the last 20, 25 years was done under the guise that, hey, we'll borrow now and we'll have such prosperity in the future, it won't, you know, be a problem for our kids and grandkids to pay that back. Well, you know, that's not necessarily the case, as it turns out now. Let's see. Let's take a look at one more article, and then we'll get on to some Roth conversion strategy. The keys to multifamily transactional success this year. It's another article, October 25th, on Globe Street's platform, globestreet.com. It's GLOBEST.com. Any of those you want to take a look at that. we're as it says, we're going through this article's out of the, L.A. We're going through a tricky time. It has never been more important to focus on the basis when looking at a transaction. And this was a, I guess, a panel discussion they had at the Globe Street Multifamily National Conference this past week. Globe Street, for those of you that may not know, is a huge real estate research and survey. They track, you know, everything from rental rates to cost per unit. I mean, it's really a great research knowledge base for those of us that are trying to get a handle on where the market is moving and what the norms are. But in any event, the panelists at this particular discussion are talking about how prevalent the bridge debt type of debt is, which, you know, I can just tell you from looking at the transactions we've looked at, it's very prevalent. It's probably 95 to 99% of all the deals that get done are bridge debt, which is a temporary type of funding or debt. You know, typically a three-year could be a fixed rate if you lock it in by paying more money, or more likely it's a floating rate. And by the way, we're seeing rates up in the 7% range now. It's very rare that we see one below 5 any longer, unless someone's paying dearly for that rate cap, or if they're able to assume existing debt. That's the other way you might be able to get that. But typically bridge debt is a three-year term with 2 one-year extensions that typically cost 1% of whatever the level of the mortgage is. And, you know, the panelists said, you know, interest rates have gone up and there will be some uncomfortable conversations between lenders and their borrowers and between investment sales and their clients. And that's for sure. In underwriting, we have to apply a stress test, according to one of the panelists, because we don't know where things are going to go. It's hard to find deals that will pencil or they'll qualify to or be something anybody wants to work on. And, you know, we've been pointing out, we see a lot of transactions right now where it doesn't appear to us that they're using rational exit pro formas, specifically the cap rate. And as we've discussed almost every week now for a while, the two biggest, not just the two biggest, the two metrics that determine almost every exit price is the amount of net operating income that a property is generating and the cap rate, which is the rate that an investor is going to insist on paying or receiving to pay the amount that they're being asked to pay. And the cap rates are going up. And we see transaction after transaction where maybe they're assuming or they're purchasing the property now based on a 4.9% cap rate. Used to be even lower, but now, you know, we're seeing 4.9 and higher. And yet we see more than a few transactions, some that came in just this past week, they're showing 4.9% on the purchase, and 5 years, even 3 years from now, they're showing 4.9 on the exit. And I can tell you right now, that's not going to happen. And if you're looking at investing in a transaction that's showing a cap rate at the same or similar level as what you're getting going into the transaction, I'm going to suggest you either perform or have somebody like us perform some sensitivity analysis and show you what happens to your cash flow if maybe the exit cap rate goes up to, I don't know, 7%, which is entirely likely. I think we may get down the road 3 to 5 years and we'd love to get 7%, right? And so I think it's unreasonable just going in that's the cap rate that we're seeing. And yeah, I'll tell you right now, there's other deals to put your money in that are showing pro forma math that'll do better than what a 4.9% rate may generate if it goes to 7. In other words, the you know, somebody that's underwriting for a 7% exit cap is being, I think, more rational, and their pro forma numbers are probably, I mean, again, there's other things that go into the pro forma numbers. You know, you've got rental growth. What kind of rental growth are they suggesting will occur? Because if the rental growth doesn't occur, then the NOI, the net operating income, might not happen. So, you know, you've got to look at the assumption sets on all these transactions before you jump in and end up in a transaction where basically you got some incremental or some interim cash flows because the rents were greater than the expenses for a given month, quarter, year, whatever the distribution frequency is. And, you know, it doesn't mean it's not better than putting your money in the bank. I don't mean to say that, but I would suggest that, you know, if you have a choice between 6% per year or 8, you might want to look at the one with 8 and figure out, is there any funny business going on with the assumptions? And if there's not, that may be the more likely or successful transaction. It might be more likely that it would succeed even if it goes longer than anticipated, because the metrics that on which the property was purchased gave the ability to generate more cash flow. So again, those are some of the things that we try to analyze, and again, we're not magicians, but we understand math, and we can tell you if a exit cap rate is suspect, or, you know, the rental income increase that someone's projecting, or assorted other things, the tax benefits, you know, are copacetic given what we see in the market. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and take another break, and we'll be back for the final segment here in a few minutes. More of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and big dreams. And there are many just like me
with big dreams and big dreams.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I was just going to wrap up the previous article we were looking at to indicate that, you know, there's far more scenarios now where the exit cap rate is not really the primary focus as it was, you know, 6 months ago or more. A lot of transactions were backloaded where they were assuming, hey, we're going to get a big chunk of cash on a refi or an exit. And I'm not suggesting that people are just saying, well, that's not going to happen anymore. But, you know, that's where the big coupon was that would get cashed, I guess you might say. And I think now you're looking more carefully at, well, what am I going to make in the interim before there's a refi or an exit? Because that may not happen for a while. And, you know, again, if I can get 6 to 8% cash flow each year, that sure beats the heck out of a bank. So we've got just a few minutes left. I'm going to pivot back to where we started at the beginning of the show, which was talking about 401 trust. And I want to whet your appetite for those of you that are hearing this discussion for the first time, or for those of you that have heard it before and it was a bit murky. I want to talk about the Roth conversion because it's becoming so apparent. It is so obvious that tax rates are going to go up, and it's probably 2026, 2027 would be my guess if I had to place a timeline on it. I hope it's that long because that gives us several years to get the conversion done. And for those of you that have heard me discuss this before, you know that we don't do a conversion, or we try not to do a conversion from pre-tax to Roth, where we take all of your money, whether it's, you know, $100,000 or $1 million, we don't take that on a Roth conversion all in 1 year. Why? Because that gets you into the highest tax bracket just because of adding on that income. So if you wanted to convert $500,000 from pre-tax to Roth, you'd pay tax on the $500. Now, that's the normal way. That's if you got your money sitting at Charles Schwab or Fidelity or whatever in market-based assets. Now, if you've got them, you've rolled over to a self-directed 401 trust and you've invested them in these real estate private partnership syndications, we've got the best of both worlds, because not only do we ultimately typically make a higher rate of return on average than you'll do in the market, but we also can convert the pre-tax dollars in your self-directed 401 trust or IRA. If you're stuck with an IRA in an investment, a private partnership, which if you are, we need to address that sooner rather than later, and let's get your IRA converted to a 401 trust, again, if you qualify, and then you'll be able to avoid the UDFI tax that you're going to pay that none of my 401 trust clients will have to pay, because it doesn't apply to 401 trusts like it does IRAs. But let's assume that we've worked with you, we've got your money rolled over, you've gone out and invested it in these real estate private partnership syndications, and now you're saying, hey, I understand there's a tax train barreling down the tracks, and the rates are going to have to go up as much as double, is what all the experts say that study this stuff, and I want to miss that. I don't want to get hit by that train. And so what we would do is we would work with you to determine what's the optimal amount of money to convert this year, next year, the year after, trying to get you totally over at some point into the zero tax bracket effectively off of those investments. And the beauty about real estate private partnerships is that unlike your stock market investments, there is no market to trade those investments in. So the value is somewhat subjective. And the SEC tells us what the risks are in these real estate private partnerships. They mandate risk factors be disclosed at the very front end in the private placement memorandum. Things like lack of marketability, lack of majority control, lack of a large professional enterprise to manage the investment, because typically you're dealing with you know, small-time mom-and-pop type operators, not always, but in some cases. And then the other risks that are kind of common sense, but they say it anyway, which we're thankful for because that means we can claim discounts for it. You may not be able to rent your units like you think. You may not be able to sell them. You may not be able to refinance them. You may not be able to do assorted things. You know, the economy might tank you. You might have pandemic stuff hit you. All these things that the SEC wants you to understand before you put your money in, well, we take those and we put percentages to them. And let's just say that by the end of the day, when you convert your pre-tax to Roth, you probably will be paying tax on 50% or less of the investment that you made, because that's what all those risks add up to. So if you had the $500,000 that I mentioned that you wanted to convert, we would pay tax on maybe 200 to 250 of it. It depends on the transaction. We look at the different risks that are specific to that transaction, and we come up with a amount that then we calculate the tax on. Pretty amazing stuff when you realize the savings and tax dollars that we can accomplish, not just over the next 30 years of our life, but right up front. The difference between converting the $500,000 as it sits at a brokerage house and market investments, or million, whatever it is, versus where it sits in private real estate partnerships. If that doesn't get you excited, if you're already a little bit excited, excuse me, about the prospect of investing in these partnerships, hopefully that might nudge you over the line to where you realize, wow, we've got a lot of downside risk protection just in the calculation that Nathan just described. And so anyway, if that excites you, as it should, go to the website, baplanner.com, BEAPLANNER.com. Fill out those intake forms up at the top right. Schedule a phone call, and we'll be happy to review with you, again, how we might be able to sync up some of these strategies with your facts and circumstances. We're coming to the end of the show once again. We appreciate you listening in today. We'll be back next week for those of you that can listen in. Otherwise, you can go to our website, again, baplanner.com, and put a /podcast at the end, and that'll take you to our podcast page if you'd care to listen to the today's show or some of the past shows. But anyway, thanks again for tuning in. We look forward to next week.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.